This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled The Past is the Past, was delivered on July 12th, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Woo, it's so good to be here. And looks like the sun came out. And it's, can you hear me? Okay, so those of you who are out there, and sitting down, and you never get your fried rice, because I see choke fried rice on that table. You guys got to listen to me. When I tell you get fried rice, go get fried rice. All right? Because this is just a practice for when God tells you go get fried rice. You better go get fried rice. All right? Not like, oh, yeah. When God tells you go, go. Amen? I love this fellowship. I love this gathering. I love being here at men's ministry. And, during worship, you may see me on my phone, and I'm just trying to welcome all those who are logging in and telling them welcome. If I don't get to you, all of those who logged in, sorry, but I'm trying to preach and look at my phone at the same time. And as you know, I cannot multitask. If I'm clapping, I cannot sing. If I'm singing, I cannot clap. All right? Walking in, chewing gum, sorry. Not me. So I just want to welcome those of you out in Facebook. I just want to recognize some people that one of my longtime neighbors, he's in Las Vegas now, Hannah, he tuned in. So I said, good morning, Hannah. And later on, Julie's going to go and watch this message with Aunt Helen. Aunt Helen is a dear friend, so I like to say, Aunt Helen, when you're watching this, even if you cannot see the video, if you can hear it, I just want to say good morning and we love you. And it's just so good to be here. Mike, thank you so much last week. Discord, not fish poop and shampoo, but Discord. Discord is like, wow. That's what it sounds like when I pick up the guitar and I try to strum it. It's this chord, man. Oh, my gosh. It is terrible. I listen to Al and Richard, and when they pick up that instrument and they strum it, and it's just like, wow, it's just angelic. It's just beautiful. And when I pick it up and I strum it, it's like the fingernails on the chalkboard. And thank you for reminding us what makes God angry. Discord is, forget the first six things. It's that one seventh thing. And about how God brings the marriage together and we try to take it apart. Thank you. Every time you do that, you speak, you give me some good things. And no, we did not put you on the bench. And I love how you snuck those pictures of fish in. I can't do that because James doesn't invite me fishing because he might be afraid that I might catch a bigger one than him. Just like when his wife catches the bigger fish than him, he kind of. So, Jen, when you catch that next big fish, you can come here and gloat and put him in his place. Yeah, I just love this, guys. But, hey, we're going to go looking and searching, and the past is the past. And I look at the condition of this world today, and I mean, how many of you, when you look at the world, when you look at the news, you can see like the devil has his hand in just about everything. I mean, during this pandemic, we've seen the blame game. What is the devil, one of his name? Accuser of the... Oh, I should make that one trivia question there. And... It's the accusations have been playing out to the fullest, and they're blaming people or countries or leaders of not doing enough or doing too little too late. The World Health Organization, people are blaming China, and as you look at the landscape of what's going on, first the devil. He made us afraid. He kept us in fear of not wanting to go out, not wanting to do anything. He kept us, You know, you notice fear paralyzes us. When that lizard was crawling over the ceiling the other week and Shelby was stuck in the corner blocked in, she was paralyzed. Fear kept until Lawrence went to rescue her. Then she jumped up. She was actually on camera so you could see what our PowerPoint lady looks like. She almost took out all the wires. But fear, it does that to us. And so during that beginning of the pandemic, the devil had us like, oh, I don't want to go out. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And then after the kind of the fear subsided, then the racism came on. And then the devil made us angry. And the devil made us hate one another. And I was like, man, the devil is just having his way. And it's like, man. So I was like, I'm not going to let him have his way. I'm not going to be afraid. And I'm not going to hate people. I'm going to have fear of the Lord, but I'm going to also use wisdom. Yeah. And I'm not going to be angry at anybody because they may not like me, but I'm going to love them. And the thing is, if you have your Bibles along with you this morning, you might want to be prepared and open it up to Exodus 14. I know it's like, okay, I got my Bible in one hand. I got my fried rice in the other hand. How do I balance this? Well, if you got a chair next to you, just turn it around. Use it as a table. It's like we're not going to say, hey, don't move the chairs. This is not like that. This is like freedom. You got the freedom to eat and worship and move the chairs. So go ahead. And you know, if we look in the look what's going on, regardless of what fault to anyone, the past is the past. And we need to look forward and how we can still live and thrive even with this virus around. You know, people may have a hard time getting on with life. You know, people trying to get to unemployment, and it may be difficult. It may be hard to get online. I know Pastor Dennis had a hard time with his wife because some of the information wasn't correct, and a lot of people couldn't get on because imagine the whole state trying to get on unemployment. Of course, the system's going to crash. It's not equipped. And then we blame the state, and we blame this, and we blame that. But, you know, when we blame people, or how many of you, by blaming somebody else for your problems got solved? Somebody, anybody, raise your hand. Anybody had their problem solved by blaming somebody else? Nobody. What a surprise. What a surprise. How many times, yeah, we blame our spouses, right, for something. Doesn't solve a problem. My wife, you never put down the seat. Oh, there we go again. Does that solve your problem? Yeah, but still, yeah, I got to have courtesy. You got to love my wife. So, you know, we can look back on when this all this started, probably in December. And you know when this thing started in China, and honest truth, I paid no attention to it because really, what effect is it going to have on me? Then when it started coming to the United States in Washington area, I really still didn't give it much weight. And I said, nah, they would never make me shut down the church. Guess what? Then it came here. Then they shut down the church. I was like, wow. And, you know, we can say like, oh, we should have done this. We should have done that. You know, all of that is a big if. How many of you ever say, oh, if I'd done this, if I'd done that? You know, it's like you can try and live in that big if or what if. But that's not going to do nothing. And, you know, we're going to look at two different things this morning. We're going to look at the difference between looking back and reflection on the past. So here's your first bullet point, looking back. In Exodus 14:11, if you have your Bibles, then they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt, that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And you think about it. Remember when they were like the taskmasters and they were getting whipped and beaten? And they were crying out to the Lord and they were miserable. And they asked God to save them. So God sent Moses. Moses got them out of Egypt. Now they're in the wilderness. And now they're grumbling. They're looking back. They say, oh, we wish we was back there. I mean, how many of you, now that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, how many of you are like, oh, I wish I was back in my BC days? When I used to drink and take drugs and sleep in on Sunday mornings, I would go fishing on Sunday, watch NASCAR and football, and nobody told me what to do. There wasn't no rules I had to live by. I did what I did when I did it. How many of you wish for all of that? Nobody. Yes. But these guys, they were taken out of slavery. They were given freedoms, and they were looking back to their oppression, and their desire was to actually go back to the way it was under the Egyptian rule, being oppressed, being slaves with the heavy hand of the Roman taskmasters under Pharaoh. You know, some of us may be thinking, like, I wish things were back the way it was in 2019. And sometimes we look back and we think, oh, you know, back in 2018, my wife's dream, one of her greatest desires was to see the Christmas lights at Disneyland. So I had the opportunity to take my wife, my two girls, and their husband. And we went for a week to see the Christmas lights in California. And it was beautiful. And I have pictures up on my wall, the six of us. And I think, like, what a great, great family vacation we had. Pigging out on all that food and all those different places. We had such a great time. And I think, like, man, I don't know if that is ever going to happen again. And sometimes I think, like, wow, no, I don't want to go there. I don't want to live in the past. But I got to look forward to something greater in the future. I cannot dwell. If I dwell back in 2018, then I'd be stuck in a miserable rut. I would be like these Hebrews who were taken out of Egypt and wanting to go back. I mean, yes, it's a terrible thing to kind of look at the past and want to be there. How many of you can relate to that? How many of you think, like, man, it was a 2019 was a good year, and 2020 was kind of rough. Yeah, I mean, it's like, take out that program and reset it and put it back in, because 2020 has a virus. Right? I mean, it does. Reset, reboot. But so here is the difference. Now, reflection. Hebrews, and if you're following along in the reading plan, we're in Hebrews, and we're just getting through Hebrews 11, and I love that chapter. We call Hebrews 11 the Hall of Faith. Hebrews 11. Now, faith is assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the men of old gain approval. And when we look at Hebrews 11 and reflect on the great faith of ordinary people, I don't know about you, but I get inspired. And the difference between looking back and reflection, when we look back and we wish we were back to a time when it used to be like this, the only thing I kind of wish when I look back is I look back and the days when people told me that in 30 minutes they would fill up the cooler with red fish, fishing, bringing out four or five fish one time. That, I look back and like, oh, I wish I was there just to experience that. But sorry, but sometimes I do fill up a bucket, but it's fun. We look and reflect. We look at these guys and what they did, and we get inspired. I mean, anybody remember air travel before 9/11? Man, I could drive down to the airport now, stand in line, tell them I need one flight to Honolulu, and I would get on. And how easy it was. But now I look at it now, and it's harder. But I believe it is much safer. Sometimes I look back when I could drive down the street because I never have dinner, throw in a line and be back in 30 minutes with dinner. And not because I'm a good fisherman like James or Mike or Al or Johnny, because there was a lot more fish back then, and the fish were stupid. Now, the fish are smart. And that's why I guess they travel in schools. So they're smart. You know, we look, we reflect, and we look, and we get inspired. That's why the Bible says it was written for whose instruction? Our instruction. Basic instructions before? Yes. And when we read that and reflect on the words that was written centuries ago, man, we get inspired. We learn stuff. I mean, we can inspire without desiring to be there. I mean, sometimes I look at the Bible and I mean, wow. And then sometimes I think, man, if I was back there in the Old Testament, I don't think I'd be that stupid. I mean, if you think about it, how many laps the Israelites had to do before they actually got into the Promised Land, for how many years, round and around, I think, man, I wouldn't be that stupid. But when I look in the mirror, I look at myself and say, you are that stupid. Yes, you are. And I reflect and say, okay, I don't want to be there, because even you may think you want to be there to see the miracles of Jesus and to see him healing. But if you ever pick up that book, the Fox's Book of Martyrs, guarantee you do not want to be there. To see how some of these people died, you do not want to be there. You reflect on it, learn from it, and move forward. Romans 15:4. And man, if you have your Bibles, open it up there and highlight it. For whatever was written in earlier times is written for our instruction. So you see this book, it's not a paperweight. It's not to put on your table in your house to make your house look holy. It is to be opened up, written on, torn up, dog ear pages, highlighted, notes written in it. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to a life that isn't. Yeah. Whatever was written in this book was written for our instructions. Okay, so it was written for our instructions. You don't read it and go tell your spouse, hey, you know what, you should read this here. You should really read this here. It was written for our instruction, not for you to go tell your spouse what it says. Because a lot of times we like to tell them that. Okay, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. the knowledge of Scripture, man, it has such a great effect on our attitude towards the present and the future. When we look and we read the Scripture, we reflect on it. And the more we know about what God has done in years past, the greater confidence we have about what we'll do in the days ahead. So here's the thing. Number one, don't look back. If God wanted you to look back, He would put eyes on the back of your... Yes. Or He would make you walk backwards. Luke 9:62. But Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." What do you think He meant by that? When someone was plowing their field, he was guiding his ox. He was guiding his ox in the straightest possible line to maximize the rows of his planting. Now, how straight would it be if he were plowing forward and looking where he has been? I mean, take mowing the lawn. I cannot make a straight line even when I look forward and mow the lawn. I want to make my lawn, well, actually my mowed weeds, look like Dodger Stadium with all the lines crisscross. I cannot even make my lines go straight versus crisscross. And that's even looking forward, it's hard to go straight. Jesus said that when we accept Jesus and we start working and doing kingdom work, we cannot do kingdom work stuck in the past. Stuck BC days. Stuck pre-COVID-19 days. We cannot do His work. We got to look forward and do His work. God has called us, you and I, to Himself. And you and I, we need to put our hand to the plow for the work of the Lord. Not look back. Not look into our past before Christ came into our lives. Not think like, "Oh man, if this was before this, I would still be at home on my couch relaxing." Or I would still be, how many of you would still be sleeping? How many of you would still be sleeping if you never received Jesus Christ? So we have just a few honest people here. Just a few. Yeah, I. You know what? Honestly, I wouldn't be sleeping. I would be sitting on my couch with my window open, my ashtray next to my beer, and the TV on Sunday morning, NASCAR. Sorry, but I like to watch guys just turn right and go in a circle. Call me crazy. I find that exciting. Yep, they just turn left, turn left, turn left. But you know what? Frank is worse because he just likes to see guys go straight. 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 No turns. I mean, that's, come on. How hard can it be to drive straight? Sorry, Frank, but I know it's hard. Whew. I'm going to get it after service from James, Mike, Frank, and all those other guys. But here's the thing. We cannot look back, but number two, we got to move forward. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. How many of you have all been called to do something in this life? You all better raise your hands. You all are called by Christ. That's why you're here right now. Paul, who wrote this, he had a very, very good reason to forget his past. He at the beginning, was one of those guys. He said, "Hey, let me hold your jacket so you can pick up bigger rocks to stone Stephen." How is that, yeah? How is that? You know, like, here, give me a jacket so you can throw bigger rocks at this righteous man. So you can throw bigger rocks and put him to death. So he had good reason to forget his past. That was the beginning of the mention of his life. He was young. He went around with letters arresting Christians. And if he was here now, before his name got changed to Paul, if he was Saul, he probably would try to get all of us arrested for worshiping Christ. He was persecuting Christians. He even had letters to arrest us. Here's the thing. What is your plan to move forward from this pandemic? Will you let fear rule over you? Will you move forward in faith? You know, I believe there is a thin line between faith and wisdom. And if we don't be careful, we can cause harm either way. Proverbs 1:20, wisdom shouts in the streets. She lifts her voice in the square. Man, you love how Solomon associates wisdom with she, yeah? Yeah? If there's a she next to you, just look at her and say, wisdom, man. Wisdom. Wisdom. The picture of wisdom shouting in the street. It's a personification, a literal device to make wisdom come alive for us. Wisdom is not a living being. It's like the mind of God revealed to us. And by reading about Jesus Christ's earthly ministry, we can see wisdom in action. And in order to understand how to become wise, we need to heed wisdom calling and instructing us. You know, here's the thing. If you had the opportunity or not to insure your home, would you? Let's say you did get insurance on your house. Now, getting insurance on your house, I think it's a law, but if you had the opportunity, they gave you the choice, would it show lack of faith not getting insurance? Or would it show that you are wise on your part? Now, granted, if we lived in a perfect world, we wouldn't need insurance. We wouldn't need car insurance. We wouldn't need health insurance. We wouldn't need home insurance. And if we lived in a perfect world, we'd be kind of stupid to pay insurance on all these things. But the thing is, we don't live in a perfect world. There are earthquakes. How many of you felt that earthquake? Yeah? Shake you up, yeah? And two. We have lava. We have hurricanes. We have floods. And getting homeowners insurance shows a little bit of wisdom. Because the Bible doesn't promise a perfect, problem-free life to believers. Wow, what a surprise. A little bit of preparation and foresight can go a long way. But the Bible also doesn't say that faith replaces wisdom. It doesn't say that you should just pray, trust God to look after and take care of all of your problems without any effort on your part. Some people like that. Oh no, I just pray and believe that God going to take care of all my problems and all my bills. I don't need work. I wonder. Using knowledge and hard work to solve your problems does not show a lack of faith. It just shows that we are smart. We have wisdom. Will faith tell you to go out without a mask to a party with wall-to-wall people. You see those pictures on the news? These guys are having a blast at the swimming pool, wall-to-wall people, and you wonder why this virus is spiking in those cities. Don't you think he's like, man, you could have lived in the Old Testament because you're just like them. Yeah? And then when you look at your mirror in the mirror, it's like, oh my gosh. Hello? You know, will wisdom tell you, if I'm going to go out and I'm going to go into a crowded place, wisdom tells you to put on your mask or not to go at all. If you came into this parking lot and you seen 200 people in here having a blast, no mask on, fellowshipping, hugging, high-fiving, how many of you would keep on driving? Yeah, I would probably dig out too. Good luck with that message. Okay, so here's the thing. We need to have faith, but we need to use wisdom. We need to not look back and want to dwell in 2019, but look forward to what the rest of the year has. We need to look forward of how many times can I share this video on Facebook, especially when you see our PowerPoint person running through the camera. Oh, that was, and you get to explain that to all your family and friends. Like, hey, you seen that lady run? Was because of one lizard. And you get to hear James joke about him catching bigger fish than me. Yeah. God just needs to boost him a little bit, that's why. But, see, we cannot get stuck in yesterday or last year. We gotta go forward. Even with this virus, we gotta think. Use wisdom. How can I get this gospel, this really, really, really good news to those guys who are locked up in their house, so deathly afraid of going out? How can I help my elderly neighbor get food? We need to get creative and think. We need to move forward with the gospel. We cannot say, oh, I'll wait until things settle down to share the gospel. Man, what if they die in quarantine and you had the opportunity to take the good news to them and you didn't? We need to read the word, reflect on those words that were written for our instruction. Learn from it, get encouragement from it, and move forward. Amen? What time is it? Is it time for the... Oh my gosh, it's 10:05. Forgive me, people. Whew, see what happened when I don't preach for a week? Oh, worship team. Oh, no, we're not... Oh, you know what? Communion. Sorry. Oh my gosh. 1 week off and I am all mixed up. How is that? Forgive me. Oh my goodness. Okay, so you got your stuff, your elements, excuse my language. You got to be proper. For those who are on the mainland watching, Randy in Missouri, man, get your grape juice, get your soybeans, because I know you're farming soybeans. Here is the thing, okay? There's a top layer that you peel off, and you get your wafer. And there's a bottom layer that you peel off and you get to your grape juice. Okay? So before we do that, would you bow your heads and pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we get to do communion. You commanded us to do this so that we would remember you. And Lord, man, sometimes with all that is going on in this world, it's so easy for us to get distracted. So you said, do this so that we could remember you. And I'm so glad that he does this because I don't think if they had a camera back then, maybe he would have sent pictures And he said, look at me and see this picture. Remember me when you do these things. Well, in 1 Corinthians 11:13, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You may take up the bread. Yummy. But Amy's one is better, sorry. But you know, we're not going on taste, we're just going on the symbolism. Yeah? In the same way, he took this cup, the cup of the new covenant, in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. You may take up the cup. Yummy. It didn't ferment. It's grape juice. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. Help us to remember, not just today, but every day, what you have done for us. By dying on the cross, you shed your blood so that we can have a way to the Father. We can be forgiven of our sins, cleansed, and now we have a way to God through you. Truly, this is a great reminder of our relationship with you. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you out in Facebook land, I hope you had something to drink and eat along with us. But I know it's late. Sorry, forgive me. But it's raining anyway, so you guys are kind of stuck here. Thank you so much for being here. Next week, I think my message is about, I think, fear and courage. It's going to be good because has some things going on. But if you got to go through the rain, please grab your fried rice before you go. Because if you don't grab your fried rice before you go, you insult the chef. And next week, we're not going to have fried rice for you. We're going to just have water. So make sure it's all gone so we can make some more next week. If that, we're going to serve you that next week. But for those of you on Facebook land, we love you. God bless you. God keep you. And just be safe. Amen. God bless you all. Have a fantastic week.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kea, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.